Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule. I said that without any enthusiasm, so let's take it from the top. Welcome to Eggnogs and Yule Logs, a podcast where I, Doug Ishikawa, and
I, Mark Hahn,
set out on a journey like Frodo and Samwise Gamgee of self-discovery through the magical world of the Hallmark holiday movies. Mark?
Mr. Frodo?
Potatoes. I did. You know, speaking of potatoes, I made you some Christmas carolers stew. Would you like some?
I'd love some.
Oh, it's not as delicious as lobster ravioli with ivory white chestnuts.
Oh,
just scented with butter and thyme over purple carrots, radish, and beets. But whatever, you know, it's not.
Wow, look at you with this recipe.
I had to go back and watch that one scene and be like, what did he put in the lobster ravioli? We're going to get to all that and more because our latest film, A Christmas Treasure, stars who other than Jordan Sparks, the American Idol winner herself, and Michael Xavier. Let's get to it, Mark. What is the McKellar count? I think it's a little bit higher if we count some other actors in this film. Like, I think we did talk about, I believe the correct pronunciation is Lawson Chambers. I think she was in Christmas Sale earlier.
She was in Christmas Sale. She was, what is her name? She was my favorite in that too. She was Joyce Benson in that. Now, I don't have her exact McKellar count, but I think she's probably been in 5+ Hallmark movies. And I have to say, right off the bat, anything that Lawson Chambers is in, I just want her to give me a hug and take away like all my troubles, because I feel like she can do that in any film she's in. Yes. I know that Michael Xavier has a McKellar count of 3, and I have this as 1 for Jordan Sparks, but there are certainly some veterans in this film.
Yeah, very good film overall. We're going to get to all of that and more, but let's give the audience a little bit of what it's all about by putting 60 seconds on the clock. I have it ready. So this is like the first time in 9 episodes that I do have it ready.
You're all the way ready.
Not all the way. I mean, I'm mentally here, but let's cover all the points that we truly need to get a full picture of this work. Mark, are you ready to go?
I'm ready.
All right. Begin.
Lou Webb, an aspiring writer who currently works for her father and mother as a newspaper writer in her hometown, is getting ready to move to New York City. She's spending one last Christmas at home. In comes Kyle. Kyle is a chef from Chicago. He's the nephew of Marcy, who owns a restaurant right there in the town of, I don't remember, Pine Grove. Sorry. However, Lou and Kyle spend a lot of time together in this Christmas Treasure movie. Will it be that at the end of this rainbow, they will find a pot of Christmas gold?
My, very good. You did that with 50 in 50 seconds. You gave yourself a little bit of time at that.
Thank you.
Wow. Even with the screw up. And I mean, I don't know if there's a person who aggressively turns their pages in their Trapper Keeper binder as well as you do. So I got to give you major props for that. I don't even have to drop in a sound for that. So
thank you. This is what I always wanted to do as a kid. It's just like that.
It really makes a difference for the audience who's listening good at home. But here is the actual, very good job, by the way.
Thank you once again.
You're amazing at it. You're like, I would say, you know, when they say amazing, like Amazing Spider-Man, but like, you're like, ooh, I would say you're the Tobey Maguire of reading.
The Tobey, the OG? Seconds.
The OG. Just, okay. Yeah. You like that one?
Yeah. I don't know. I kind of, do I want to be Tom Holland though?
I mean, I'm choosing Tom Holland for myself. You can Tobey Maguire, because when I feel like you have that same sort of, and people who aren't following along with me right now, there is that scene in one of the Spider-Man films where Tobey Maguire has
Venom
in him.
What's the name of the movie?
Huh?
What's the name of the movie?
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man?
Spider-Man.
He's not like Joe Spider-Man.
Well, I got into the multiverse way earlier. Oh, okay. But you know that one particular scene where he's in like the jazz club and he's doing a lot, but that's who I envision you.
It's, yeah, that's Spider-Man 3.
Yeah, we'll put that up on the Twitter. We can show you what Mark is really like because he is the original OG here. But here's the actual Hallmark description here. After opening a 100-year-old time capsule. Did you even bring up the time capsule?
I didn't.
Oh my gosh. And meeting a charming chef, Lou. I'm sorry, not... Take two. Whoop-ch. After opening a 100-year-old time capsule and meeting a charming chef, Lou questions whether or not she should move to New York after Christmas and further her writing career. A Christmas treasure. Man, I screwed up so much in that. You never brought up the 100-year-old time capsule. Talk a little bit about that before we get into our sponsor here.
Well, so it seems that Lou's family has been living in Pine Grove for many, many years. And I believe that it was her like great-great-grandfather that originally began the newspaper in the town, the same one that she works for and that her father is currently running. And so like 100 years ago, one of her ancestors said, okay, you know what? I'm not going to go to San Francisco. I'm going to stay here and run this paper, and we're going to put together a time capsule to be opened in 100 years.
A penny a pape.
Penny a pape. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm going to seize the day now.
Seize the day. Open those gates. Now, here's the thing with the 100-year-old capsule.
Mm-hmm.
That is what the title is. The capsule is the treasure, is it not?
One would think, yes.
Or did I miss the entire movie and I didn't have any idea what was going on?
The Christmas treasure.
What would you say the Christmas treasure is then?
It was what they found in each other's hearts.
Oh, I missed that reading between the lines. Are you sure? Okay. I like yours a lot better than mine. Okay. So before we get any further, let's take a quick break to hear from, I guess, my sponsor. It wouldn't be yours.
No.
We're happy to announce that we've partnered with Solo Stove, or that I'm happy to announce that I've partnered with Solo Stove. It's the near smokeless stainless steel glorious fire pit. They are fantastic and are just the perfect complement to this holiday season. Mark, I'm sorry.
I saw one today. I should have taken a selfie with it.
Yeah.
And just said, hey, Solo Stove, can you help me out?
Help out my co-host here. They are beautiful. So go get your Solo Stove today. That reference link is on our Twitter page. It's linked. Eggnog Yule Logs. Eggnogs Yule Logs?
I don't think there's an and in the Twitter handle.
Eggnogs Yule Logs. That's what it is. Go mm-hmm. check it out. We are up there on the Twitter machine. Just making Twitterverse so much more positive.
It's all a Twitter.
All right, let's get into the categories tonight. Does it fit? Does Christmas Treasure fit the narrative of all Hallmark movies, Mark?
It's got the flower to every Hallmark movie. The flower and the dough of every Hallmark movie is a small town. Does it have a small town? It has a small town.
Gingerbread Miracle in it right now.
You're darn right I am. And then it's got people who unexpectedly decide to stay. And we've got that. So, hey, look, we've got all the makings of a perfect Hallmark movie. So, yes, it does fit the theme.
It does. Because, you look at it, every one of these Hallmark films have a little bit of like, there's like these big scenes in every one of these Hallmark films that just make you feel more into the holiday spirit. I wrote down like it does have the taste of Christmas
mm-hmm.
where they win. I believe it's Kyle and Marcy.
Mm-hmm.
Marcy runs the tavern in town, the Tavern Grill. Kyle is coming in from the outside. He helps out with Marcy, and they come up with the Christmas caroler stew. They end up winning the competition. So they do have a taste of Christmas. They have a time capsule ceremony. I don't know who goes to that, but sounds like a lot of fun. There was a hot chocolate buffet. It wasn't great.
Nah.
Plastic cups for the hot chocolate buffet, but I will count it. And then another gingerbread house competition. So all of those things, anytime that you get at least one of those things, it does fit the narrative of all Hallmark movies that we've seen. We've seen 9 so far. It's 18 hours of our lives. We are just way more jolly than per usual at this time. But let's head into Baywatch.
Baywatch.
Lines that made us laugh, cry, or feel the feels. Zac Efron's abs. Mark,
man,
what do you got?
That's what I
want to
feel. I'm forgetting the scene where this happened, but he finds like a recipe and he
Christmas
looks
Carol stew.
But the line is, you sound like a foghorn.
You like that one?
I like that line. There's the point where Kyle's trying to make something that's going to win that contest with his Aunt Marcy. And she says, you know what? I'm tasting this. I'm tasting that. What I'm not tasting is Christmas.
Mark, what does Christmas taste like to you?
Christmas tastes like gingerbread, but mostly it tastes like cookies that my wife, my daughter, and my mother-in-law all make. Mostly this kind of cookie called Scotcheroos, which I think are similar to something called peanut butter bars, but it's like a Rice Krispie treat, but with peanut butter, and then chocolate is the top layer, and they're just delicious, and they sit in my garage to remain cold, and then I just sneak out and have like a ton of them every night.
And then every time that you bite into it, you just start singing Christmas carols to yourself?
Oh, yeah, for sure. Nice.
Very good.
I have one more.
I'll go.
Have one more. Do you remember the scene where Kyle serves them the food? It kind of towards the beginning.
Yes.
And Lou just starts dropping salt on the stuff.
Yes. And no, she actually doesn't drop salt on it. I think her sister-in-law and one of her friends are with her at.
Are they the ones that do it?
Yes.
Okay.
They are putting salt on Marcy's meatloaf.
Right. Okay. Now I have to say, being married to someone who is an excellent cook, I found out maybe a decade ago that is a super insult to someone who cooks well. You cannot do that. You have to at least try it first before you salt anything. Now, I like to make the claim that because I, you know, work out a lot and I lose a lot of salt because I'm sweating and X, Y, and Z, that I need to salt things. But
I would have thought that you would have just put straight up oil all over any of the food that you make.
Well, what I have done now is I just take a bowl and I put oil in it, olive oil and Parmesan and salt. And I just mix all that up. And that's just kind of a dipping sauce. But I have to wait until I've tried the food first.
I get you. All right. I wrote down 2.
And then I reuse that oil and put it in my bath.
Yes. Yes. Let's always bring that back up because that is an image that we all desperately need. Mm-hmm. I wrote down 2 things. Okay. I wrote down, Lou, did you happen to ask Marcy about me? And she says, no. I thought that was pretty funny. I like that right off the gate there. And then Everyone I Love Is Here was another fabulous line that made me get a little misty-eyed. And as far as talking about like food and family a little bit, I do have to give a shout out to my sister-in-law. She also gave me a holiday mug because she is also listening along with us. So if she's listening right now to this episode, thank you very much for that. I am drinking my pepper.
Shout out to the SIL. Very nice. Right.
Let's get into heartwarming moments. Mark, what do you have written down for some heartwarming moments throughout this film?
So I have the part where Lou sits down with her father and has kind of heart to heart about her decision to leave. And just, I want to bring this up. Lou's dad is the mayor from Yumi and the Evergreen. Did you notice that?
Yumi and the Christmas trees?
Yumi and the Christmas trees. Sorry.
How could you screw that title up?
I know. How did I do that? Because we're always singing to the Evergreen. Yeah, but the mayor from that movie, the mayor is Lou's dad in this movie.
Oh, nice. Very cool.
And I thought the way that worked out was like, he was like, no, I want you here, but of course I want you to follow your dreams. And then I think when when Lou invites him to the town square, it's like she's kind of timid about it, but like, you know, she'd like to have him there, and they're kind of dancing around the fact that they're kind of into each other. Hmm. That was my other one.
I wrote down, now, listen, for those of you that have seen this film, Kyle and Lou, they must bump into each other at least 47 times during this film. I mean, so I could go back and draw from any of those heart-stopping moments, but I won't, because there are also scenes in it like the two of them decorating the tree together. I did not pick that. I could talk about the peppermint bark from Kelly's. I did not bring that one up. Learning about the Spanish Civil War and the love story that ensues with it. I know that you have something to say about that. If you want to save it for things
I'll
that you
have
from it. We'll save it for that. I know you got really very oily about that. I did not
you
bring
saw,
that
you saw me at our jobs as software engineers.
Yes, as software engineers. That. You had that was the first thing you had to say. But the two that I did have written down for heartwarming moments, her first book. Do you recall the scene? Her father helped her with the illustrations.
Had
it professionally bound, then wrapped it and gave it to her for Christmas. Oh, my vapors, Mark. I was watching that. I'm like, I am a horrible father. Because my kids come home with a book, and I immediately like, this is great. And then when they're not looking, because listen, I love my kids, but there are so many books and things that come home that I can't hold on to all of them.
Right.
You know, but I guess this father did. My heart melted like a stick of butter left on the stove, a solo stove.
I know.
My other heartwarming moment, I can't believe you didn't bring this up. Mm-hmm. I'm very disappointed. When Jordan Sparks sings, she's got two solos in this film. And now it could be Oh Holy Night or the last song in the movie, but man, have you ever gone out there and done a rendition of Oh Holy Night? It's the toughest song to sing.
Oh, I can sing that song.
Oh, you can. You can sing it like Eric Cartman from South Park. Is that what you're saying? That is disturbing
is
and bothersome to all of
the
our
Christmas trees and pie. Yeah, I know how to do it.
Exactly like Jordan Sparks.
Yep.
You too would have gotten zero votes for American Idol.
But here's what I will say with that. I've always known that Jordan Sparks could sing. But I thought she was a really great actress in this.
She was.
Regardless of what I thought of, like, you know, the story, the writing, any of that, she surprised me at how well she played this character. She did not feel hokey or cheesy. She did a nice job here.
Okay. Props to that. Let's get into double. No, that's triple. Crap. Double entendre.
Double dragon. Double dribble.
Also, Double Dragon was also a horrible film, but we won't do that tonight because we're in the holiday spirit. That's what we're doing.
Sure.
This is the ninth Hallmark movie, Mark. We're in the HCMCU.
Mm-hmm.
Take me through your little idea here for double entendre.
I only had the two, and you already named the one. It was when she says, "It dawned on me that everyone I loved was here." And I think she was saying that to Kyle. So that was a little bit of a double entendre. And then when Kyle delivers food to her as she's doing some writing there in her house apartment, she's like, "Well, you didn't have to bring it all the way over here." And he goes, "It was a special delivery."
Yeah.
Like it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He is. Listen, Kyle in this film, Michael Xavier, he is the cockiest, most confident man that I've seen on screen in some time. I already told you about the Baywatch line where he was asking her, did you ask Marcy about me? He's just a very confident guy.
He's confident but not arrogant.
Yeah,
like he knows what he wants and what he thinks she wants, but he's just very smooth about the whole thing.
Yeah, I liked all of it that he had. Did you have anything else before?
Not in the double entendres, no.
All right, let's head into Negativity Town here.
Negativity Town.
Let's put some bells on the sleigh here and ride through the town, telling why the town is not very good. So you did have a huge issue with some of the history in this film. So go ahead. Let's
start with something else first.
Remember that it's Hallmark, Mark. Okay. This is not like, okay, I'm going to give you the floor here. So go ahead.
So you remember when Marcy and Kyle won the competition with their food?
Christmas Caroler Stew. How could you? Yeah. This is the third time I've reminded you.
Christmas Caroler Stew. Thank you.
Christmas they win, in your mouth every bite.
And then immediately there's a gigantic check with their names on it. How'd they get their names on there so fast? No. Yeah, right. No. That's okay. Right. That one's small. Like, you're right. That's just Hallmark being Hallmark, and that's all right. Okay.
You would have wanted to see the guy or the gal writing their names on the giant check and then presenting it to them. Maybe they've already done that. Maybe they just cut through all the fat.
Did you think that they just expected them to win?
I don't know. No. But maybe you just didn't.
Is this like the British Open or the Open Championship? And there's a dude like engraving this is happening.
Absolutely.
Like she's putting for par from 3 feet on the 18th green.
Yeah, they already knew it was going to happen.
Okay, fair enough. Okay,
just had big checks written for everybody. And they just
really had a budget for large the rest checks. Of them.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. I'm just trying to make this into a positive spin here. Go into your history lesson here.
Here's where I struggled. Okay. Kyle talks about
you can fact. Tell you're really getting into it when you really flip those pages. So go ahead.
Right?
Yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Kyle talks about the fact that he lived in Spain for a while and learned how to cook there. Except that he calls something that they eat in Spain
tapas.
No, that's how it's what you say it again.
Tapas.
Tapas. That is the correct pronunciation of that word. He says something like topas or tapes or something super wrong. And I about jumped out of my chair. Now, here's the thing. Here's why it is important to say this word properly. When my wife and I got married and we were about to have our, rehearsal dinner and all that stuff, we were about to have the rehearsal dinner at a Spanish restaurant.
This was after the first date hefty makeout.
1 hour in, absolutely.
An hour in. Okay, good.
Mm-hmm. You didn't love being on that text thread, did you?
Mm-mm.
No. When I reported this, somebody said, it's going to be at a tapas restaurant. And then it got out to the rest of my family that it was going to be at a topless restaurant.
Happy holidays.
So an enormous portion of my family thought that we were going to a place of ill repute to go and have dinner after the rehearsal at a church. Okay, so you got to get that pronunciation right. Then she's talking about, this like makes my head hurt. She's talking about a Hemingway book that is set during the Spanish Civil War, that is a love story. And then she says, the sun also rises.
Farewell to Arms.
Excuse me. She says, does she say a farewell to Arms?
No, she doesn't.
She says a sun also rises.
Is it a farewell to Arms?
No, it is not.
Oh, shoot. Was that close? Is that a Hemingway book?
A Farewell to Arms, I believe, is.
Okay.
But The Sun Also Rises is a book that was published in 1926. The Spanish Civil War began in 1936, lasted until 1939. I know because I actually lived there for 4 months and had to study this. The book she actually meant was For Whom the Bell Tolls. Do not send to know for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee. Look, this is a quick Google search. Even if you're Hallmark and a writer for Hallmark, you got to get these little details right.
And this is why I only go to see Baywatch with you.
No,
and
people hate watching movies with me.
Yeah, yes, and I can to go answer further back, like that is more like if your family and friends thought that you were having your rehearsal dinner at a topless bar or establishment, mm-hmm. that's more on your character that they were all like, yeah, that's.
That tracks with Mark, right?
It really tracks with who Mark is as a person. I just didn't know that it was so out in the open and he was just going to celebrate the fact that he was being him. So, mm-hmm. I do enjoy that. And this is why I only go and see dumb movies with you, because I don't think I could sit through a 2 hour drama with you whispering over to me. The Spanish Civil War actually was 10 years later.
Do you remember when we watched Serenity?
I tuned you out. I was so into the Matthew McConaughey and Anne Hathaway.
halfway through, I leaned over to you and said, "This is bull crap. The whole thing is a computer game."
And what did I say back to you?
I don't remember. Yeah, probably that. Yes.
That's I'm enjoying. Right. Let me enjoy it. Go get me a popcorn. All right. Let's head into lessons learned. Mark, what do you have written down for lessons learned? We have three more to get through. Let's do it.
Hey, lessons learned. You can still achieve big dreams in a small town.
Very nice.
Because that's what she decides. I can still write, but I'm going to do it from right here.
And you can do it anywhere because everyone I know that's here is the person and the people that I love. I wrote down with Thanksgiving just around the corner, and we talked about this earlier. I learned that in order to make a rocking meatloaf, it just needs to be made with love. Mm-hmm. No salt or pepper even needed. So therefore, this year, I will be making the turkey. And when I present it to my family and friends, and I will tell them, this has been seasoned with only love. So that's
please tell me you're actually making the turkey this year.
I am not allowed to be anywhere around the turkey.
No, oh,
I am okay. Allowed to make a little bit of things on the side here that nobody really eats. That's who and what I get to do. So
if you're gonna make a
meatball, but all of what I'm gonna make is gonna be seasoned with love, Mr. Hahn.
Well, it always is. It
always is. Do you want to jump into Steamometer, or do you have one more thing to add with lessons learned?
No, I'm ready for Steam. So I only gave Steam a 3, but I have to say it didn't hinder my enjoyment of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
They had a very nice kiss at 158.15. So yeah, Steam wasn't high, but it didn't make the movie less enjoyable.
You would have thought in those 47 bump-ins that the Steam would be steadily rising every time that they bumped into each other a little bit, right?
You would think, but they didn't work that in the dialogue.
Yeah, they did not. You know, I kept this one. This one is also kind of like a Baywatchian line, but I was so impressed with it that I had to write it down for Steamometer. And that's when he says to Lou, when Kyle says to Lou, "Wait till you really get to know me." And she says, "You think that's likely to happen?" I'd say the odds are in our favor. There's that charming
that confidence.
Kyle right there. You know, a Hunger Games pickup line. Anytime that happens, like Katniss Everdeen would be so impressed by that. One of the Hemsworth brothers would also be like, "Hey, nice job on that."
Can you name which one?
Huh?
Can you name which one?
With an L. L. Hemsworth. I don't
Liam,
know.
Liam, very nice.
Liam Hemsworth, yes.
You know their other brother is in Westworld?
Yes, I do know that. The other Hemsworth.
The other, no one knows his first name, but
that's what they also call me in my household. The other Ishikawa.
Oh, really?
Yeah. At Thanksgiving.
You're the one and only for me.
That thank you. I appreciate that. You know who made that turkey seasoned with love? The other Ishikawa. So I gave the Steamometer, I gave it a 10 out of 10. I just thought it was just hot all the way through. I just was like, yes, another meeting. And then 3 minutes later when they met again, I was like, yes, it's getting hotter in here. And then they bumped into each other again and again and again. So I gave it a 10 out of 10. And so that leads us right into our last category of the evening, into eggnog ratings. Where are you with this? Go ahead.
I had a 3.5. Like I said, not much steam for me, but a lovely story. I enjoyed the whole time capsule portion of this. It didn't feel like they were forcing things too quickly. And as you said, they kept bumping into each other, but it never felt like it was like, "Duh, get together." They were just kind of slowly getting to know each other. It was nice.
I like that. Guess
how
what
about
I
you?
Rated it?
You're going to let me guess?
No, I'm not.
Just tell me.
I'm going to take out all the anticipation here. I went with four.
Four.
You know, it felt horrible. I felt so bad at the end of the last podcast because I gave it a lower rating. And I felt it just wasn't who I am.
Did your heart shrink two sizes too small?
It did.
When it happened.
I took all those presents from the Who's. So, yeah, four nogs for me. I just thought it was a fun film all around. I thought anytime that you get Jordan Sparks to sing, it's going to make the film even better. I did not quite understand some things like the beacon, and I thought Santa would show up at some point because the light turned on. But spoiler alert, but stay along with us. It's a good film.
Yeah. Did they ever really explain the beacon?
No, I guess maybe it's like it turns on when there's Christmas spirit.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. That's kind of a downer, but you know what? I didn't let it affect the nogging rating for me. So I did keep it back up to 4, and it feels so good to be back up in the
to be back at 4.
Oh man, you know, because I'm not sitting there for 2 hours yelling at my screen with my purple mead trapper keeper with my wife telling me, Mark, don't tell me about. I'm sorry, that's not how your wife speaks, so please don't think that that's how you speak. Thank you for the mug and the
I'm glad that you did the impression and not me.
Yes. Okay, we'll edit that one out, but I'm gonna keep it. All right, do you have anything else to add before we get out of here for the evening?
I just love Lawson Chambers. I want her to give me hugs in whatever character she's playing in these movies.
We're going to tweet at her from our Eggnogs Yule Logs Twitter account.
Excellent.
What she does for us. She's fantastic in all the movies that she's been in so far. But that's going to put a wrap on it for us to Eggnog and Yule Log Nation and
the Eggnostics.
Thanks for hanging out with us for Chapter 9 of Eggnogs and Yule Logs. We're going to be back next episode with the 10th, our 10th episode, Mark. I'm so tired, but yes, I'm so my holiday spirit is still there as we get closer and closer to the holiday season.
It's just a little teaser for that one. Huge McKellar count.
Mark's already ahead of me. We are trying desperately to get through these trio of movies before the next trio of movies. It's like an avalanche. The mail, it's like mail. It never stops coming. But our next holiday movie is what?
It is called Open by Christmas.
Open by Christmas. Tune in. We're going to be there for the next episode. But until then, Mark.
Nug.
To the evergreen.
To the evergreen.
Take care, everybody. See you next episode.